Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles.
Hello, and welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. My name is Caitlin Shaw, and today we're talking about studying abroad. I am a current film and video graduate at GVSU. I'm working at WGVU as a production assistant currently, and I studied abroad in the Czech Republic for a semester. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Bill Cuppy. I work for Grand Valley now. I'm in university communications, and my team does all the creative and multimedia for the university. So film, video, photography, multimedia design for the university as a whole. But more importantly, I'm a proud film and video graduate from Grand Valley State University way back in the day.
Hi, I'm Kylie Nguyen. I'm a current film and video student here at Grand Valley. I work at The Bridge. We make videos and whatnot for faculty. I'm currently working on my thesis, directing and shooting that. I'm also the cinematographer for that. And I studied abroad last summer in Ireland.
Ooh, what's the name of your film?
It's called Nothing to Lose. It's a star-crossed lovers at the end of the world story.
I'm so excited to see it, Callie. Everyone on today's podcast has traveled to various points in your life. For me, I did a semester abroad in the Czech Republic, which is in Eastern Europe. Kelly Nguyen, who was with us, did a shorter study abroad in the summer in Ireland. And Bill, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you studied abroad?
Well, that's the interesting part. Thanks, Caitlin. Appreciate you welcoming me to the podcast. I did not study abroad, which I don't have too many regrets in my life, but I have traveled quite extensively since graduating from Grand Valley. My wife and I both have got a lot out of our travel experience, a lot of growth, a lot of perspective, and we both look back on our time at college, and if we could do it all over again, we would prioritize studying abroad, because at that age and that time of life, when you're open to so many new opportunities and perspectives and experiences, what a great time to do it. So we decided that's why we need to start a scholarship for it, for film and video students.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know a big reason why I wanted to study abroad is I had a lot of adults in my life instill in me, you will never have this much free time to travel in your life again. You will never have this little of responsibility again. So now's the time to do it. And so once I got to college and I figured out that in my schedule, I could do my last semester abroad, I wanted to. That was the goal, even though it was kind of scary. Callie, can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to study abroad?
Yeah, so I always wanted to travel internationally, even from when I was like 12. I actually met with advisors back when I was in high school to see if that was something I could do. Nothing really came from that. But then I got to university and I got involved in so many different clubs and work. And so it wasn't in the cards for me to go for a semester, but I found a really cool program over the summer. And so it's just something I've always wanted to do. So I took the chance.
All right, so my next question for everyone is, and I'm going to modify as for Bill, is of all the places you can go in the world, why did you pick the place you went? For me, it was honestly like fate or destiny that got me there. Because I know I wanted to do a semester abroad, but I was getting really overwhelmed and stressed with just the sheer amount of options. Because for me, especially my last semester, I just needed more credits, but it could be anything. So I was looking at a bunch of programs, but it was just all too much and I couldn't decide. And then one day I was talking to Joel Petrakis, one of my professors, and he found out that I wanted to study abroad. And he's like, Czech Republic, you gotta go. Because I guess he lived there for a year, I think, after he graduated from college. And that was just the sign I needed. And I looked into the Czech Republic because I didn't even really know where that country was when he suggested that. For those who don't know, it is right next to Germany. But I looked into it and it has a lot of cool history. It was bombed once, but besides that, in World War II, like, it's very intact compared to other cities. It's very central and I knew I wanted to travel to a lot of other places. So pretty much every weekend I was there, I went to another country. So I went to 13 countries total in my semester abroad and drank a lot of Red Bull and took a lot of overnight trains, but I got where I needed to go.
Just Red Bull, Caitlin.
Hey, pink Red Bull, best flavor of Red Bull. Europe has more Red Bull than we do. That is my fun fact about Europe. So I guess my split off questions are, Callie, why didn't you pick Ireland? And Bill, you did not go on a study abroad, but what is your like favorite country you've been to that you would recommend people go to if they get a chance?
I was just always drawn to Ireland. I have a lot of ancestry there. And so it was just kind of always on my radar that trip was the first time I've ever left the US or Canada. And so I was really nervous about a potential language barrier. And so that played a really big factor into why I ended up going with Ireland, because I knew that while Irish is a language spoken there, it's predominantly English. And so I knew it would be a little bit more in my comfort zone than a lot of other countries would have been.
Do you regret going there, Kelly?
No, not at all.
Did you get to travel other places too?
I did. And since then, I've gone to France and I've been to Belgium, and Ireland is still my favorite of the countries that I've gone to. So I don't regret it at all.
Awesome. So I've got an interesting story. A little bit about my history is I went to Grand Valley and filmed a video from 1988 to 1995. It took me a while. And eventually I started my own business, Cuppy Productions, and I made connections with Mark Schaub, who's currently the Dean of Brooks College of Interdisciplinary Studies. But at the time he was the director of the Padnos International Center. He had a need to promote study abroad on campus and around campus. And of course I had a desire to travel and was running my own business. So we struck up a really interesting sort of win-win deal where I comped out all of my production costs as long as he covered my travel costs. And then we just figured out what would work for post-production. So it gave him a reasonable way to create study abroad videos and me a free way to travel the world and make a little bit of money in post-production. My first travel experience in high school was Haiti, and that changed my life just because the perspective I was able to see there. But I never studied abroad or even traveled internationally through college. I did do a trip to Ireland in 96. But teaming up with Mark, we've been all over the world, and he was very efficient with his travel schedule. So each trip, it would be a whirlwind trip, like 2 countries at least per trip, 3 or 4 days in each country. So I want to say we did Krakow and then Germany, and then 1 year we did Japan and then Bosnia. We did Tanzania, Africa. Probably the most incredible experience. And the beauty was I got to document and share stories of Grand Valley students studying abroad and the immense impact to a person. In every video interview, the final question was like, how do you feel? What does this mean to you? And every single person, it changed their lives in one way or another. But the most extreme and cool and crazy and wild experience was going to India. And I'll just point out that India is not for everyone. But if it is for you, it's really interesting. Some of the best and worst smells of my life. I experienced everything from the most amazing food to a lot of armpits in Mumbai on the subway, cattle walking freely in the street because they were sacred, and some amazing people. So I think that's one of the reasons why my wife and I, Michelle, gave a little extra edge to film and video students who want to study abroad in less normal places, so to speak. So maybe not London or Paris or Barcelona. And that doesn't mean the scholarship can't go to those people, but there is some sort of sense of adventure to it and encouraging that when possible. So long stories, but we've traveled a lot personally. And so the places I pick are usually almost always new places, although we have returned to Valencia, Spain. And my wife spent 5 weeks there last summer with one of our sons on his last year of high school. So we have returned a couple times, but generally we pick new, exciting places.
Going off of something you said, I feel like a big part of studying abroad and a worry some people have is the culture shock. My question is, does anyone have any big culture shock moments? I know for me, one thing that was really hard to get used to is in the Czech Republic and a lot of Europe, if you ask for water, they are going to assume you mean sparkling water. And I'm not a sparkling water fan. And I ran a 5K in Prague. I'm so tired. Someone hands me a water and I like try to chug the whole thing. And I immediately just spat it out. And all the Czech people are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I'm like, who hands out sparkling water at a 5K?
Yeah, I've been there. What do they say? It's sin gas. No gas.
Very important phrase wherever you go in Europe if you do not like sparkling water.
Well, I think for me, it was just a bunch of little things. There just kept being moments like there's restrictions in the US about which way doors have to open, which isn't always a thing in the EU. And just the food. Also, I think the first time I had to go to a grocery store over there was just such a crazy experience because it was just a little bit off from what I knew. Times like that just kept happening. Everything was just a little different. different than what I was used to.
How about the size of the doors, Kelly, in Ireland? I don't know if you're tall or short, but I remember I had to duck into some pubs and places because everything was old and short.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely a big thing. I stayed in a pretty modern area for a lot of my studies, but then at the end, I traveled around Ireland and there were a lot of cramped spaces.
Where did you go in Ireland? Can you tell us?
Yeah. So I studied in Limerick, so like Midwest Ireland, and then during a weekend there, a friend and I, we went up all the way to like Derry in Northern Ireland. And then we also went to Dublin. And then in the week after, I went to Killarney, so Ring of Kerry, Southwest. And then I went to Cork. I spent a lot of time in Galway. I think Galway was my favorite place I went.
Beautiful, huh?
Yeah, it's so lovely. And then I also spent a lot of time at the Aran Islands. I got to go to both Inishmore and Inishere and spend a day each there.
Did you see the Cliffs of Moher along your way?
Oh boy, I did. Oh, the Burren was so cool.
I mean, I'm super old, but when I went, we could crawl to the edge of the cliff and look straight down. I think I've heard they've got some sort of fencing, so you can't do that anymore. I'm sure there's very good reason for that.
Oh, absolutely. It's very blocked off now. Like, you can't get within 8 feet of the cliff side. But when I was on Inishmore, I went to, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's like Dún Dechatóir, which is the Black Fort, and it's a fort from the 11th, 12th century, and it's all the way out on a cliffside. It reminded me a lot of the Cliffs of Moher, but it was not touristy at all. There were no fences. There were no people there either. And so I think that was probably a little similar to your experience of the cliffs. But yeah, Cliffs of Moher were very windy. It was rainy, which is pretty, you know, the usual for Ireland. But yeah, it was very touristy. And I was there with a group of classmates when I went to the cliffs. It was cool. It was a really cool experience being in a big, well-known touristy spot. But I think the actual like wow factor of the cliffs I got from other places.
Amazing. Caitlin, I'll answer your question, but I'm so intrigued by the Czech Republic. Can you describe it? Do you regret it? Did you love it? I mean, that had to be so different than Western Europe.
It was very different. Like I said, when it was first suggested to me, I didn't even know where the Czech Republic was, but I loved it. I think going there was the best decision I've ever made in my life. I'm going back there again in my life. It is such a beautiful city. I kept telling my friends it's very Wes Anderson coded. If you're a fan of those films, like there's a lot of pastel buildings, is very pretty. And there's this signature like rusty red color that's on all the roofs. And it's a very good mix of nature and city. So there's Old Town, which is very tight alleyways, brick cobblestones, buildings. But then my favorite part of Prague actually was this area called Petrin Hill, which is this giant hill, probably as big, if not bigger than the size of GVSU's campus. And at the top is their version of the tiny Eiffel Tower. And the hill is as tall as the French Eiffel Tower, if you count the hill in how tall their tiny Eiffel Tower is. So I would walk around there a lot, and there's apple trees, and there's no pesticides there, so you can just pick the apples and eat them. And I mean, check for worms. And I would just go there and eat lunch, and you can just see the whole city up there, and it was just so beautiful.
Amazing.
That's so cool.
I've got so many questions for both of you, but I'll answer yours. Obviously, I think I alluded to it. India was the biggest culture shock, and I went to 4 or 5 different parts of India, and they were all so different. And each one took 2 days for me to wrap my head around where I was. And I was there during wedding season, which is really interesting because apparently wedding season goes till 5 in the morning, but it was pretty fascinating. I will say, from a culture shock and maybe even a homesickness standpoint, through all the years of interviews with students after they had returned, it was almost always harder to come back. It was like the reverse homesickness is what everybody reported out for the first 6 months of coming back. And I wonder, just because you're in this sort of completely different world and space and perspective and society, did you guys experience that?
100%. It's been hitting me because I've only been back 2 months now, and I was there for 3.5. Like, I can still close my eyes and see the street I lived on and see the river and map out the routes. Above my desk, I bought a painting in Prague before I left, and it's of the river, which is gorgeous and my favorite view. And I'll look at it some days and just want to start crying because it became my home away from home, and it was a weird bubble of my life where that was like my everything. I miss it a lot. Like, I feel so lucky that I got to go, but there is a bittersweetness with the gratefulness that I had to leave it and come back. And like, I wanted to cry at the airport on the way back.
Yeah, I think it is weird because it's such a pocket, kind of like Caitlin just said, of your life. It's completely separate and I want to go back so badly. I think at the time I was a little bit like, okay, I've done my time. Like I'm ready to come home. But ever since then, I've just been thinking, how can I get back in my life? I know I want to. And like, I got a ring there and I wear it every day. Still kind of like Caitlin's painting. So yeah, I definitely experience that.
I have yet to meet anyone who goes on a study abroad and doesn't become a lover of travel afterwards. And that was something I really wanted to prove to myself when I went, because my family was not a family that went on a lot of vacations when we were little. I grew up in the suburbs, and then coming to Grand Rapids was scary to me because that was a big city. And actually, one of my like proudest moments was I was doing a solo day trip to this town in the south of the Czech Republic. And so I get on my bus, and the bus dropped me off in the completely wrong city. I was 2 hours north of where I needed to be. And this was halfway through my study abroad. And if that had happened to me my first day, I probably would have broke down crying. But I looked around and went, oh, this is the wrong city. I Googled, where is train station? And then I walked half an hour to the train station, got on a train, got to the city I was supposed to go to. I think study abroad gives you a lot of growth. And that was a moment for me where it was like, okay, I've grown as a person because stuff seems a lot less scary once you've done all these crazy things you never thought you would do.
Yeah. And how intimidating and unclear is public transportation when you get there? And then how amazing is it that these cities have it?
I miss it so much. Prague, I don't know if they lied about the statistic, but I was told they have the third best public transport in the world. And I feel like my wings have been clipped because you could just file like a bus stop or a tram stop or the metro and like 10 feet anywhere. We just don't have that infrastructure here. And I miss it so much.
Oh my God. There's trains everywhere. I took so many trains, so many buses. I miss it.
And that's the cool thing about getting to Europe or anywhere is once you get there, you can go wherever you want on a train pretty reasonably, usually.
You can find a way to get there. If you can get over the ocean, you can figure out where you want to go.
Yeah, I didn't, but I know a lot of people in my program who took really cheap flights in their free weekends also from Ireland.
Pretty much every weekend, we had a group chat for my program, and pretty much every couple of days, someone would go, guys, I found $50 plane tickets to Romania. Who wants to go to Transylvania in like 2 weeks? And I'd be like, okay, let's go.
Did you do it?
Yes, I did. Transylvania is gorgeous. I went to Dracula's castle.
Wow.
I did not get bit. I ate some garlic to be safe.
Oh.
But it's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I've heard Romania is something special.
Hey, it's Randy. We're taking a short break to tell you about the Morse Cuppy Film, Video, and Animation Study Abroad Endowed Scholarship. The scholarship was established by Bill Cuppy with support from Deanna Morse to help film, video, and animation students with the cost of studying abroad. Alumnus Bill Cuppy talks about why he started the scholarship.
We created this scholarship because experiencing the world and other cultures has been life-changing for us, and we wanted students to have a similar experience during this pivotal time in their lives.
Caroline Hamilton, the 2024 recipient of that scholarship, describes the benefits of the support she received.
I'm a film video major and I have a German minor. I've been studying German for about 8 years now. And so I decided to study abroad this past summer in Germany. It definitely challenged me as a person. I had to figure out how to do things and communicate and just put me out of my comfort zone. It introduces you to new things that you'd be afraid to experience because you don't want to embarrass yourself, but you have to just go for it. The scholarship itself, just the almost permission to be like, yes, go experience this, go learn, go see what happens, how this changes how you see the world and how you approach your work. It took the pressure off of me a little bit to just be like, I can experience this and not have to worry about everything else going on. I can just go enjoy my time there and see what I can learn and grow from.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
I know I touched on it a bit, but for both of you, do you have a moment where you traveled, where you learned something about yourself, or you felt you grew in a certain way?
I think a lot of it was just becoming more independent and coming to terms with that. I think I've always been a little bit of an independent person, but especially when I was alone and just taking trains around, I met with a lot of people. I met so many people there who were just amazed that me at my young age of 21 at the time was alone in a foreign country. I think it really helped me grow into being comfortable alone and being comfortable trying new things. I've never historically been a big risk taker, and not that I think study abroad's the biggest risk, but it was a big unknown.
Sure.
And so I think it really helped me get more comfortable with different things like that.
So obviously all of us are in the film and video field. I don't have any official statistics on this, but I feel like in general, at least at GV, film students are not a major that tends to go abroad quite as much in comparison to like your education majors, your language majors, your history majors. So to everyone, why do you think it is important / what can film majors and video people get out of studying abroad? Why is it important that they should try to study abroad if they can?
So much of filmmaking is at its root just storytelling. And so I think in general, just trying to get as many experiences as you can is just so valuable for being able to tell as many stories as possible. So that's why I think a lot of people should go. As for why people don't, I know me personally, I also looked at a potential program in France, and everything I've heard about France and the film world there, it intimidates me. I think there's so much prestige surrounding different film industries, and film is so closely linked with different countries' cultures that it's kind of scary to approach them. And then also, I think film, at least in film schools, it's so group work oriented that it's kind of not on a lot of people's minds to solo travel because they're just so used to working in a team. And I could be completely wrong in that by all accounts, but I just think it's just not something that is often taught as an option.
I think you really nailed something I've been trying to think of how to describe, is I feel like there's a certain hustle culture in like the arts. You do this project and someone on that project gets you on the next project and you can't leave and study abroad because then you're going to miss something. I think that was a big fear of mine. Statistically speaking, yes, you will miss something when you study abroad. It's just going to happen. But in my mind, all the relationships, professional and otherwise, you have are still going to be there when you get back. And this is an opportunity you'll likely never have again. And adding on to another reason why I think people should is I think it can expose you to films you might not otherwise get to see. When I was in Prague, I watched a ton of Czech films, which are really hard to find in the United States. I took a Czech theory class, which showed me a bunch. And then I also found this tiny theater that's similar to our Wealthy Theater that shows historical films. And I went to every single screening that had English subtitles and I loved everything I saw. And I'm so mad because for the vast majority of it, I can't show it to anyone else because they don't have English releases. And outside of the soft skills of learning to be more independent and growing, I think it can expose you to like elements of films that would be harder to get access to in the States.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is underutilized for film and video students. I think before the scholarship that we created, I knew of one and it was quite some time ago. But if you think about it, it's the perfect match. I mean, we're all storytellers, and this idea of being able to connect with people across borders and being exposed to different ways of living and thinking and creating, and then combine that with visual storytelling, that's an experience that changes each of us, but also potentially all of the viewers, all of our audiences. It's almost a no-brainer. I mean, I'm lucky now. I get to receive letters from people who got the scholarship and hear about their experiences just a little bit. It just brings me a lot of joy. Investing in this sort of curiosity and creative expression and new empathy is really powerful in the world we're living in right now.
100%. I guess to everyone, my next question is, what is something you learned in your travels? I think one thing I learned is there is a way out of any problem and you'll get there eventually. Like there were times where trains were delayed and flights were missed and you get lost in the mountains and you get lost down a street and nobody speaks English. I consider myself a pretty anxious person, but I actually didn't find myself all that anxious in Europe because I just really adopted the mindset of, oh, okay, I missed the train. Let's go find the next train. Or, oh, I don't know where I am. Let's go try to find someone who speaks English or point to a map. And I think that's a mindset I've taken with me coming back, is that you'll figure it out eventually and you'll get there when you get there.
I think I learned to be a lot more spontaneous because I was there for such a short time. And when I was going there, I was like, well, I'll be in Limerick. Maybe I'll go to some other places. There's some planned day trips. But then I got there, I think I was like halfway through the program. And I was just hit by how little time I had. And so I started going on so many different day trips. Originally, I was planning on doing like 2 days here, 2 days here. And I ended up going a day every different place. And I think I've taken a lot of that back with me now, especially because now I'm in my last year of college also. There's a lot of finality surrounding me right now. I think I've just taken a lot of the go-getting from study abroad. And now I've been able to apply that to my current life to not miss out on different opportunities.
I learn something every time I travel, and I've never been fortunate enough to do a semester I've been able to do a lot, but I've learned mostly that some things are just chaos and craziness, and that works in that society. I don't know how sometimes, and it would be hard for me to live like that. But the majority of the time, I just realize how civilized people are and how sensible, and frankly, how caught up we are sometimes here in strip malls and highways and racing everywhere and not taking breaks and siestas and having wine a little more often, etc. Did either of you pick your place because they had film and video specific programming, or did you find that there? Like, I wonder if that's a missing element, if we could try to identify places that actually fit within the major.
When I was researching, I do think compared to some other majors, there aren't quite as many courses if you did. But for me, at least, it was something where personally, when I was looking at programs, it'd be nice if they have film classes. But also for me, I am such a hustler. Like, I work very hard. I like to move from next thing to next thing to next thing. And I knew as much as I love film, it was important for me to take a bit of a break because there are other things in life besides film. I need to step back. And I was still able to do a level of that one film theories course. But I agree with that. It can sometimes be a little hard to find film classes, but I think you can find them. And I also think even though just taking any class, there's value you can find and there's stuff you can transfer over, even if it's not directly.
I think you're totally right. That's a huge message, is get out of your world for a minute and it's going to help you later. So I love that. And I think maybe that's something that film and video students might overlook because they're just on the grind to get their classes done. But I mean, that there's so much more to it.
I ended up not going for film either. It was a little bit on my mind when I was doing the initial program search, but I ended up just picking the university because I liked the program outside of film. But I actually ended up using film a decent amount there. I was surprised by how much overlap there was in a seemingly not film-related class.
Oh, cool.
I was in a culture class, and for one of the finals, we had to retell a different Irish myth. And we could have done it anyway, but we ended up making, it was like a little reality TV show episode. And so I got to work with a group of people, and none of them were film related. And so we divvied it up. I was the show runner. I was the editor. I filmed everything. But it was cool to work in the film.
Love that. That's Grand Valley's liberal education at work right there.
Exactly.
I did have one question I really wanted to ask everyone as my bingo free space question, because I feel part of the beauty of travel is you gain a bazillion stories that you're not going to share at one point. So this is my bingo free space for everyone to tell a fun, weird, or crazy travel story. And I know what mine has to be. Me and like 14 other people in my program decided to go to Poland together. So we all were in this hostel room on the fourth story of this really narrow building with stairs that were not up to code. And we had this gorgeous view of the town square. And it's our first morning there. And we wake up to trumpets. We look outside and the Polish military is outside, like lines and lines and lines of soldiers. And the day before we had gotten there, the Polish military had shot down a Russian drone. So we're like, oh my gosh, we're in Poland. They always invade Poland first. Do we need to start running? So we're all screaming and running around. And there was one European in the room with us. And he pokes his head out. And he's like, no, no, no. It's the 100th anniversary of their first king. It's a military Salomo. We're fine. We're fine. And we're like, oh, okay. We don't have to like run for our lives. And then we got a lovely bird's eye view of a military ceremony in Poland. But that was a fun, crazy moment that went from being a really scary morning to a really fun morning.
Oh, this is so different. The first thing that came to my mind is when I was in Galway, I tried this Chinese street food. It's so different to your story. It was the best I've ever had. To this day, I dream about those noodles and the sauce. I was only in Galway for 2 days and I had it for dinner both days. I dream about them. I've considered calling that place up. That's my biggest memory, honestly.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain trying to come up with a podcast safe story to tell. I'll double down on Callie's to a different level that's probably just at least on the edge of podcast safe. We did a trip. We started in Albania because we had two pretty prestigious alums working in government there. They treated us to this special seafood dinner and it was their favorite chef. And he came there from New York and he was the best chef in all of Tirana, Albania. And it was six courses of crazy seafood, mostly shellfish. So the squid comes out, the mussels, a couple things I didn't even know. And I mean, I'm not loving it, but I also know that I'm going to try anything, at least a no thank you bite. But usually I'm going to horse it down just because I want to be polite. They're taking us to this really nice restaurant. And so we ate and I went home, and about 2 a.m, I got either some sort of shellfish allergy or there was something wrong with one of them.
Oh no.
And we had a 7 a.m. flight to Bosnia. We were going from Rome to Bosnia. And so, yeah, I didn't sleep, not in the bed anyway. And we connected in Rome and I had like a 6-hour layover. And yeah, it was brutal. And then eventually I made it to Bosnia and I was fine. But that was one of the stories. There's all sorts of travel stories too, but sorry, a little gross.
That was a common occurrence. A lot of people in my study abroad group had of eating something bad right before they're stuck on a really, really long flight.
I guess the last thing I want to emphasize and would love anyone else's opinions on is I feel like something that stops a lot of people from applying to study abroad is the overwhelming size of it. I know for me, I had to apply for a visa and that was a very long, stressful process. There was all this paperwork, but I really want to emphasize that GVSU has an amazing study abroad office and they have a lot of resources. I needed a form notarized for my visa and I'm like, where am I going to get a form notarized? And I emailed them, they're like, oh, we do it. So I really encourage you, if you are stressed, if you are lost in anything, go to the study abroad office. It is their job to help you. They've done this before. So please, please, please utilize that resource.
Oh my God. They were a lifesaver when I was in my planning phase. I went to them so much. They're so helpful.
Yeah, just walk in. They'll get you squared away.
Bill, can you talk a little bit about the scholarship opportunities for film and video students?
So the scholarship, it's called the Morse Cuppy Film and Video Study Abroad Scholarship. My wife, Michelle, and I started it probably 7 years ago, and our goal was just to get it to like 30 to 50,000, which makes it endowed, which means that money stays in a pot and never goes away. And then we've had some really great success with, I feel like I'm on a commercial right now, but I mean, this is good stuff for people to know because it's out there. And I guess I'm going to backtrack a little, but did you guys know about it? Did you apply for it?
I did know about it. I applied during my senior thesis semester, so I don't remember if I applied to it because I had almost no spare free time.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably sitting there ready for you. I mean, people took it, so it wasn't like it went to waste. So anyway, we had a great deal of support, and then Deanna Morris stepped in. She is a professor emeritus of animation at Grand Valley. She actually happened to be one of my professors in the late 80s, early 90s, along with, there was two other core professors. And she really ponied up and she's like, I really want to add and ensure that animation students know that this exists too, because it's an incredible opportunity for them. So can we just adapt the title to be film and video and animation so that everyone knows the opportunities there? And so all of our work and other people pitching in, we're currently at like $167,000 sitting in the endowed scholarship for that. And then recently I got a call that someone is willing to anonymously match up to 25,000 more in our upcoming campaign. So the new goal is now to get it over 200,000, which means I think currently right now we've got like $7,000 a year to go towards the scholarship, and we can get that to even more. So I guess I just want to say, anybody listening that's film and video, this was created just for you. My son Lucas happens to be a film and video major, but I've told him he can't apply because that just wouldn't look good, but the rest of you can. Nobody regrets studying abroad unless they're super high maintenance or just don't get it, but they're probably not looking to study abroad anyway.
Does anyone have anything else to add before we end this lovely podcast episode?
My big question for you guys is, had you traveled internationally before you did study abroad?
Yes. Okay, Canada doesn't really count in my opinion, but I had been there. And when I was in high school, I was really lucky and got to do a week-long study abroad to Costa Rica with my Spanish class. And that was really life-changing. And that kind of started my love for travel. And as soon as I was on the plane back, I was telling my mom, like, I have to do it again. I need to go back.
Well, how about you, Kelly?
No. I mean, I've been to Canada, and I'm from Southeast Michigan. It takes less time to get to Canada from there than it does to get to here. So that doesn't really count, like Caitlin said, but I'd never been abroad. My parents had never been. My grandparents had never been. So it was a really big step for me, I think.
Will you do it again?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat. I've been back, not to Ireland, but I've traveled internationally since, and I would like to go so many places now.
My next place I want to go is Peru, so that's on my to-do list in the next couple of years.
That's on mine, too. Oh, my God.
Let's go together, Kelly. Let's plan a Peru trip.
Let's do it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.